It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, March 1st, 2022. On today's ship schedule, we have 5 inbound ships, 1 in our Astoria anchorage, and 5 outbounders. In our marine weather forecast, our gale should blow itself out today, but it brought us seas of almost 20 feet on the Columbia River bar yesterday, but things are calming down today. Today we can expect south winds, 15 to 20 knots, gusting to 25, that's better than 45 yesterday, easing to 10 to 15 with gusts to 20 in the afternoon. Wind waves from the south, about 4 feet high at 5 seconds apart, and southwest swells 8 feet at 11 seconds. A chance of rain will be in the forecast. And today we'll be talking about the Russian invasion of Ukraine and how it is affecting world commerce and shipping. But let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule first. Our first inbounder is the Nicholas XL, arriving from China, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She probably got there by about 7 a.m. She'll be picking up wheat upriver eventually. The Ohio is arriving from Anacortes, headed for Portland. She's a petroleum tanker, probably will pass Astoria around 10:30 a.m. You might see her in Portland by 4:30 this afternoon. The SM Goseong is arriving from Japan, headed for Astoria's anchorage. My best guess is that she's going to be picking up wheat eventually upriver. She may have a bit of a wait in this rainy weather. She will probably arrive in Astoria's anchorage around 8:30 p.m. The Fortune Cookie is arriving from Mexico. She's a bulk carrier headed for Calama to pick up wheat. She'll pass Astoria inbound around 10:30 p.m. and be in Calama probably by about 4:30 tomorrow morning. And the SM Portland is a container ship arriving from Seattle, headed for Portland. She'll pass Astoria around 11:30 p.m. You might see her at the Port of Portland around 5:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. In our Astoria anchorage, we have the Ocean Innovation awaiting orders. She will go upriver to pick up potash eventually. And in our outbounders, the Cornelia M is leaving Calama carrying wheat at about 2 a.m. She probably passed Astoria outbound around 7 a.m., heading for the Columbia River Bar. The World Virtue, leaving Portland carrying wheat, left about 2 a.m., probably passed Astoria about 8 a.m. outbound. The Saga Horizon is leaving Vancouver. I think she might have come in with wind turbine parts on board, so she could be just leaving with ballast water as her cargo. Leaving around 3 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 a.m. The Glengyle is leaving Portland. She's a bulk carrier carrying scrap metal. Leaving around 6 p.m., she could pass Astoria outbound around midnight. And probably what that scrap metal is, at least in part, is crushed cars that have come down from the Puget Sound area by tug and barge. So a tug towing a barge with flattened cars on it. Sometimes we see those coming into the river. They go to a facility in Portland where they get chopped up in little pieces, and then they go to Asia to be used in steel manufacturing. So at least some of that metal, scrap metal, may come back to us in the form of brand new cars. The BBC Kibo is our last outbounder today, leaving Longview with logs on board. She'll leave about 6 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9:30 p.m. Well, today I thought we'd take a look at international shipping in light of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. This alarming development is bringing new problems for the world's supply chains, which are already experiencing long-term difficulties brought on by the pandemic. So this information that I'm sharing with you today comes from an article in the Wall Street Journal that was published on Sunday. Their headline is, "Car Parts, Chips, Sunflower Oil, War in Ukraine Threatens New Shortages." So here's a summary of some of the highlights in that piece. The conflict is affecting Ukraine and Russia's vast commodity exports, causing the price of oil, natural gas, wheat, and sunflower oil to rise. I know we've seen lots of pictures on social media of sunflowers because they are really big in Ukraine, and one of their big exports is sunflower oil. Shipping from Ukrainian ports, an important corridor for grain, metal, and Russian oil shipments to the rest of the world, has all but ceased. Some European nations have closed their airspace to Russia. Financial sanctions will make trade difficult. Economists and business leaders fear this will hit supply chains that rely on components and little-known commodities from Russia, such as neon gas and palladium. These are important ingredients to make semiconductors, so industries like car manufacturing that have already seen disruptions in the pandemic could see more problems. Last week, oil prices hit $100 a barrel for the first time in 8 years. Aluminum is up over 20% this year to date, and Russian-dominated palladium is up almost 27%. Wheat futures traded in Chicago jumped 12% last week to their highest level since 2012. Some experts say it's too early to know how lasting the blows to supply chains will prove to be from this conflict. Many companies can rely on stockpiles of parts and raw materials. That's one thing we've learned from the cargo slowdown, is that inventory is big now for companies. And Ukrainian wheat is mainly exported after harvest beginning in August. Companies have bounced back from crises quicker than anticipated in the past, so we'll have to see how this goes. The car industry, which has long relied on extended cross-border supply chains, was among the first to feel the blow of the sanctions. A company called Leoni AG, which makes wire systems in Ukraine that it ships to European automakers, last week shut its 2 factories in Ukraine and sent its roughly 7,000 employees home. Other suppliers are facing similar challenges. Ukraine is home to 22 foreign companies, running 38 factories that make goods for the automotive industry, producing wire harnesses, electronics, seats, and other products. The already difficult global semiconductor shortage could worsen as this conflict continues. U.S. semiconductor makers import neon gas, the chemical compound hexafluorocyclobutene, and palladium, which are used to make chips almost entirely from Russia and Ukraine. Palladium is also used in catalytic converters to reduce vehicle emissions, as well as around 11% of global nickel production, which is used to make stainless steel and electric vehicle batteries. Russia mines around 4% of the world's cobalt, another battery ingredient, a quarter of its vanadium used in steelmaking, and 3.5% of its copper, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The conflict is causing backups in ship traffic. At least 22 tankers are clogging a place called the Kerch Strait, a waterway for trade between Crimea and Russia that is Russian-controlled because ports are closed. Greece, which operates up to a quarter of the global tanker fleet, is urging ship owners to pull their vessels from Russian and Ukrainian waters in the Black Sea, which is a choke point for several key commodities. Russia and Ukraine combined account for almost a third of the world's wheat exports, 19% of its corn exports, and 80% of the world's sunflower oil. Much of that flows through Black Sea ports that are currently closed, among them Odessa. If ports remain closed for long, getting food and other things people need into the country will be a problem. Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe, so the first thing Europeans will notice will be higher food prices. There are numerous other examples of disruptions, but you get the idea here. This is another good example of how the world is all connected, and we can't say that a problem in one place has no effect on us here, halfway across the world. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.